We're going to have a great night. It's going to be fun. We're going to practice a little bit of what we've already started to learn. And we're talking about the anointing of the Holy... Am I on? Hi, everybody online. Wave. Everybody wave, everybody online.
Hi.
Actually, the online crew has been increasing. So, we're dealing with a larger crew that are watching Rock Solid Faith every single week. And we're excited about that. We just want to continue to grow the kingdom and teach you how to be successful in your walk with Jesus. So we've been talking about the anointing. Now, the verse we've been pinning off of is Hebrews chapter 6, talking about the elementary principles of the kingdom of God. We might need some more chair. Oh, there's some over there. We go. So if we can just read there, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's read that together. I'll read it to you. It's easier. It is on page 91 or 100, depending on which book you got. Has anybody bought a book off of Kindle yet? Did anybody buy? You bought yours on Kindle? So I just want to remind you, they're available on Kindle too, as well as the paper versions. I don't think we have many blues. We have one blue book left. This is the last blue book. And so if you'd like to snag that, it's available for you. Once we get into the red books, we'll order some more. Okay, so we're talking about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the... Can I just say this real quick? On Sunday mornings, can I just ask you to do something? I'll start with my Rock Solid Faith class. On Sunday mornings, can I just ask you to not talk? We have folks that are chattering during the entire service. And you need to recognize how many people that's actually... We actually had guests that won't come back. They won't come back because they said, Pastor, we've never been in a more disrespectful church. And it's not that everybody's disrespectful, but they sat near the crew. That's all they did was talk and chat. I mean, not talking like, how are you? Hi, how are you? Well, that's right. You know, they're talking right out loud. So if you're, I don't know who you are. I don't really care. It's not my business. But please just have respect on Sunday morning. When we do an altar call and stuff, you just don't move. All right? Give the Holy Spirit respect. Don't move. Why? Because you don't want to disrupt the person. Maybe God's dealing with this person here, and you get up and you leave. Wait. Just wait. Let the Holy Spirit work for them. And we're trying to teach, because we have what I love about His Tabernacle is the majority of people here are not church folk, which, thank you, Jesus. They're not like engraved in church and religion. And so many people just don't know what we would call etiquette within church. And some of the etiquette is when the Holy Spirit's moving like that, don't you move. Let the Holy Spirit do His thing and convict people, change people, transform people. Because really, some people will be right on the brink of a breakthrough, and all of a sudden they're completely distracted, and now they're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit anymore. So if I can just ask that, is that all right? You don't mind me asking that?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, let's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on. Everybody shout, go on.
Go on.
Tell somebody to grow up. It is fun saying that, isn't it? Yeah, I've always wanted to say that. Grow up. Let us go on to perfection, which means growing up. We all got to grow up in Christ. And so many times, many believers, they should already be teachers. They should already be at the position where they are mature, but they're not mature because they've never grown up. In this house, we push you to grow up. You know, it's not a strange story here. People will tell me, Pastor, I'm not coming back to that church. Why aren't you coming back? Because all you do is push, 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 push. I am never going to stop pushing in this church. I am never going to stop being the burr under the saddle. Can I hear an amen? Why? Because I want you to grow up. God's got great things for you. And listen, after a while, when you're 40 years old and you got to pass the mustache to put in the pacifier, there's just something wrong with that. You know what I mean? When you got to change the diaper and there's more hair under the diaper, right? It's there's something wrong with that. You know, it's just not good. And so we all got to grow up. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what this is all about. That's why you're in this class. Can you applaud yourself, please? Very good. Not laying again, which means don't go back, man. Once you learn these things, don't go back and have to learn them all over again. You know, we talked about people that are constantly backsliding. They get saved, they get excited about the Lord, they backslide. Get saved, get excited about the Lord, they backslide. They start, they got to start over. Start, that's never been God's plan. Start and grow up. Amen?
Amen?
Can you imagine if you're in eighth grade and you got to go back to first grade? Then you get up to fifth grade, then you got to go back to first grade. Then you get up to ninth grade, then you got to go back to first grade. After a while, man, those teachers are mad that you're coming back, you know, because there's something wrong. We should not just get saved. We could continue to grow. We should always grow into maturity levels. So these are the basic principles that we've been talking about. The doctrine of baptisms. How many baptisms are there?
Three.
What are they?
Water.
Spirit.
Fire.
Very good. The laying on of hands. And that's what we're talking about now. This is an elementary principle. The laying on of hands. We've been talking about the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Say that with me. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God, which means that the power of God is continually moving through you. It's not stopping. The only thing that stops the anointing is you. So we talked about turning the lights on and turning the lights off, how the electricity is generated at the dynamo level, then it is transferred to the substations. From the substations, it goes to the poles, and the poles then transfer it, what are those things called? The transformers, then send it to your church, send to the church 600 amp system, send it from the 600 amp system into the boards. From the boards, it sends it to each room, but yet each room has the ability to turn the lights on, but until you flick the switch, nothing happens. And that's what we're talking about with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the power of heaven that comes from the Holy Spirit. So where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Where does the Holy Spirit live? Inside of you. So the one who brooded over the earth at creation, God himself, for the Holy Spirit is God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We call it the triunity of the Godhead. Father, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They are three yet.
One.
Three yet.
One.
Very good. Boy, you're a great class today. Wow, we're cranking. So as you and I are possessed by the Holy Spirit, he dwells inside of our spiritual man. Remember in the old covenant, the anointing came upon, but never lived within. And God by his Spirit did mighty miracles from upon, but now God can even do more from within. Greater works, John chapter 14, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Not greater in better. What's better than raising people from the dead? Jesus did all that stuff. The better is the word that means more. We have the ability to produce more. Why? Because Jesus went to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. Now the anointing doesn't just come upon. The anointing dwells within. So every one of us are anointed of the Holy Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, I'm anointed. That, come on, say it again. I'm anointed. So what does that mean? That means you have the power of God resident inside of you to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to move by the dimensions of the eternal God. Everything that's within you has the ability to set people free. You are the answer that God has sent. And you are the conduit, we talked about conduits last week, that he wants to flow through. But until the body of Christ comes to this revelation, this illumination, the apocalypsis, then we are going to be constantly walking around as religious folk. But God never called you to be a religious person. He called you to be a worker. Turn to somebody and say, don't be a slug. What do you mean a worker? A worker is one who does work on behalf of another. Remember the purpose of the anointing. The purpose of the power of God is to do work on behalf of heaven. Because the anointing is not natural but supernatural, what happens with many individuals, let's just say church. If you have church but there is no anointing, then you've done a good religious service, but nothing supernatural is going to happen. And I love what Paul made the declaration of. I don't come to you with the power, I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. You see, the church, the Bible declares that the gospel is not in word only, but also in power and deed. That means there was an evidence that God said, by the power of signs and wonders, I will confirm my word. So many of us think that's talking about church. It's not talking about church. It's talking about you. You're the church. That means wherever you are, the ability to move in the power of God is available. The power for miracles, the power for deliverance, the power for freedom, the power of love, all the things that God has in heaven, everything that he showed through Jesus, literally dwells within inside of you because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Why is this important for us to understand? Because we talked about the papacy. We talked about Constantine. We talked about how the church, the body of Christ, was disengaged from their calling because the papal believed that the church were foolish and stupid and could not understand the Bible. But you and I need to have a revelation. And that is that God has called every single one of us. God wants to use every single one of us in the supernatural power of God. Now I'm going to use Steve as an example. Steve is fresh. And I'm talking, he's fresh. And he went home last week and his little girl was sick. And he was in class, 2 weeks ago. Last week. He was in class and we taught about how to increase the anointing. And he walked over to his little girl, laid hands on her stomach, and God healed her right there. They were getting ready to take her to the emergency room. Laid hands on her and God healed her right there. Now, you see, why did God use Steve? Because he's a believer. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in him. Amen. And let's be honest, you might not even understand what you're doing, but it doesn't matter. God wants to work through you to change lives. And this is what we talk about when we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. It is not religion or tradition. It is not a preacher that breaks the yoke of bondage. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And where does the anointing abide? I can't hear you. Where does the anointing abide? Shout, I'm anointed. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, and the anointing abides within you. The word abide means dwells. Why does it dwell? Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. So everything that Jesus did, you can do. Amen. Everything that Jesus did, you can do. Amen. Not some, everything. Amen. I don't know. This is the issue, though, isn't it? Because if you don't believe, you can't receive.
That's right.
And so the devil's gotten the church to believe that we are less than who we are. And the religious world has made the people, there's a separation between the preacher and the pew. And I'll be honest with you, the fact is that God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. Amen. It's a fact. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. If I don't do my job, teaching, training, developing, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, then you can't do your job. And if you don't do your job, then I can't do my job. So let's stop playing games and let's get this thing done. There are too many people that are lost and dying and need Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And unless the church steps up to be the walking, breathing Christ on this earth, are you telling me that I'm Jesus? I'm telling you that Jesus dwells in you by the Holy Spirit, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God wants to use your life, but so many of us don't believe that. We've been taught that we're in survival mode. I'm just barely making it by. Glory to God. I can't wait for the trumpet of God to sound to get me out of this earth. Oh, I'm so defeated. Man, you need a kick in the keister.
There you go.
You need a kick in the butt. Why? Because you need your mind transformed. Because you're not weak, you're strong. Well, that was really good. You're not weak, you're strong.
Amen.
You're not in survival mode, you're an overcomer.
Amen.
God didn't call you into poverty in any area of your life. Everyone thinks of poverty of money. That money, poverty has nothing to do with money, it has to do with how you believe. And so many of the believers live in poverty mentality, especially when it comes to the anointing. Well, you know, I need to call Saint Francis so he can go lay hands on Uncle Larry. Why can't you lay hands on Uncle Larry?
Amen.
Why won't you lay hands on Uncle Larry? Why won't you go release the power of God? Why won't you step in and allow the Holy Spirit to use you as that conduit to have God's supernatural power change your life? And when you choose to and understand and grasp a hold of this truth, then you can't walk around weak anymore. You can't walk around like, well, you know, I guess I'm just a Christian. You're not just a Christian. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God, anointed of the Holy Ghost, supernaturally empowered to do the works of heaven, that whatever Jesus did, you can do also. But until the church gets back to believing it, it will never happen.
That's right.
I know I told the example before. There was a woman who got saved in China. And she had a Bible. So she started reading the Bible. And she read Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus said, go raise the dead, go cast out devils, do all that stuff. Well, I mean, she didn't have a preacher. She's in China. You got to understand the underground church. And yeah, well, I mean, why wouldn't she believe it? She got saved.
Amen.
She got saved.
Amen.
The Bible's our constitution.
Amen.
So therefore, we believe.
Amen.
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 And so she just started going into towns, and she'd ask them where their morgue was. And they'd say, over there. She'd go into the morgue and come out with two or three. She'd go to the next town. Where's your morgue? She'd go into the morgue, come out with two or three. She went to another, I don't know how long she did it, but she did it. She was getting very, very well known, of course. And then a preacher walked up to her and says, what are you doing? You can't do that anymore. That was for then, not for now. So she stopped. You are what you're taught. And you are what you believe. And that's why the church you go to has a direct impact on the destiny of your life.
Amen.
So we're talking about the anointing. It has everything to do with the anointing. I remember once I was in Orange, Massachusetts, and the power of God just started manifesting in an amazing way. I was right on, it was my some of my very first services on the road. In fact, my sister, and my brother-in-law were in the service, my sister Sherry, and my sister got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the service without anybody praying for her. She was in the worship service, got filled with the Holy Spirit. People started going out in the Spirit in their chairs, in their seats. No one's near them, no catcher, just boosh. The preacher, I went to go lay hands on the preacher, and he was like 6 foot, I think he was 6 foot five, and he weighed like 280. I laid hands on him, and he started falling on me. They didn't have catchers. And I literally had to wrestle him down to the ground and get him off me. And I preached on and taught on how to release the anointing in and in through your life as a believer to change your community.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, the people were so excited. And you know what? The preacher took me in his office and says, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever teach and tell my people to pray for people ever again, because they had better have my permission before they pray for anybody. To say the least, I really wasn't ever invited back. But here we go. This is the issue, is that a lot of preachers want to keep you harnessed. I don't want to keep you harnessed, baby. I want to cut the rope. I want you to get busy. You know, there was a great revival that happened in a country. I'm talking like miracles and signs and wonders. This church was just exploding and went from hundreds to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And the revival was broadcasted in like every kind of miracle you could ever imagine. Probably like 6-7 years later, they interviewed the pastor and they said, sir, are the miracles continuing? He goes, no, we don't have any miracles in the church. Are people getting saved at the church? And he says, well, no, no one's getting saved either. And well, that's really sad, they said. No, he says, what do you mean? The revival's stronger than it's ever been before. What do you mean, sir? Well, people aren't getting saved in the church because they're getting saved on the streets. They're leading their friends and their neighbors and everybody around them to Christ. And the miracles aren't happening in church because everyone's been healed. So now they're happening everywhere else on the streets with their loved ones, with their friends at the store. And he said, the miracle's not inside. The revival's not inside. The revival is touching and changing the region. He said, it's stronger than it's ever been before. Here's the revelation. You ready? The revelation was, this is not for church. This is for the church to change the region.
Amen.
And that's what the anointing is for. I love coming on a Sunday morning, and I don't know how many of you, this is the only church you've ever been to, but you need to recognize how blessed we are in this church with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Honestly, you just don't realize how strong the anointing is on a Sunday morning. You know, when around the altar, God's power is flowing and people are being healed. You know, I gave the testimony on Sunday morning, but Alan's mom, he pops in and out. Alan's mom was watching live stream when I had that word of knowledge about the ankle, and she was healed all the way in Florida from the word of knowledge that happened in Horseheads, New York. She'd been in pain for a long time, and God healed her right there. Amen. Miracles are normal. Miracles are normal. We're so blessed in this church, and sometimes we forget that it's not about us getting together on a Sunday morning and having a hoopla. But it's about you and I getting empowered to take it to the streets. Okay, so the anointing is extremely important in your life. Now, if you've missed these teachings, you need to go back. You need to go online, His Tabernacle. You need to go to our what do they call it? They've changed the name now, so it's called our online campus, and you need to go to the archives. You can pick up all the teachings we've done on the anointing through the archives, but I don't have time to go back because now I'm getting ready to get going. Here we go. We talked about how to increase. You need to get filled, then refilled, and then speak in tongues all the time and literally just get out there and move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So right now, I want to teach you how to release the anointing. The elementary principle on how to release the anointing is the laying on of hands. If we look at your hands, say, there's healing in my hands. There's deliverance in my hands. The supernatural is resident in my hands. Now you need to hear that because you need to understand what I'm saying to you. This is not figurative. This is not a little religious little statement. This is reality. The anointing dwells where? Resident, constant, consistent, perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Elementary school, because we have to get the anointing out from us. It's not just for us. Thank God we talked about last week about the Uchiguchis, you know, talked about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about you can't give out of your need, you must give out of your surplus. And so what's happened is the church has kept the anointing for themselves just to the feel-good kind of thing. That's not what the anointing is for. It's to do work. It's to change lives. It's not to keep it for yourself. It's to get out there and to give it. And the laying on of hands is the basic principles. Jesus showed us this, Matthew chapter 8, 14 and 15. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his mother, he saw Peter's wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and served him. What happened was this. Now, you need to understand this is what happened. Jesus walks into Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Jesus walked over. Now he's anointed. Where's the anointing abide? He didn't need to go on a 40-day fast. He didn't need to break out in intercessory prayer. This is where the church misses it all the time. The anointing's already there. So the issue isn't that the power of God isn't there to heal the sick. The issue is getting it out of you. Okay, I don't know if you get this with me now. I'm going to sit down because it staggered me that the lack of response on that one. Just I didn't know what to do with myself. So I'm just going to keep babbling a little bit. Jesus didn't need to conjure this up. The anointing is always present.
Amen.
The anointing is always available.
Amen.
So the issue is not that the power of heaven is not there to heal the sick, cast out devils, to do all the supernatural works of God. The issue isn't that it's not resident. The issue is how you getting it out of you. Because where's it abiding?
Yeah.
You're not sitting there going, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Wow, Jesus. Send down your power. You're not sitting there saying, send it down, Lord. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, send the Holy Ghost. But that's where most people get it. You know, this is where really the delusion or the misunderstanding happens. That many people think, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for this person who's sick and I've got to call down the power of heaven. Wow! It's not how it works. Where does the power dwell? Inside of you. It's always resident. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. The anointing abides with you. So the issue isn't bring it on down. The issue is bring it on up. Now, when you get that, it starts changing everything. Because you're not having to, listen, Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. Not once. What? I don't know if I believe that. Well, look it up. The closest Jesus ever came to praying for a sick person was Lazarus. And this is what he said. God, that they may know that we are one. That's it. He didn't need to pray for Lazarus. In fact, when he brought Lazarus out of the grave, he didn't say, Father, I pray that you'll raise Lazarus from the dead. Nope. He said, roll the stone back. Lazarus. And he spoke to the dead body. And it came forth. Jesus didn't go on a fasting and prayer motion to have Peter's mother-in-law healthy. He walked over to Peter's mother-in-law and simply did this. Ready? That's all he did. Well, what happened when he did that? Was he going, it's so good to have you here tonight. Thank you for being. No. He released the anointing. Well, where's the anointing?
Yes.
So what happened was, literally as he's holding her hand, the anointing came out of the innermost part of his belly, went through him, and went into her without him ever saying a word. It's not how good you can pray. It's knowing you can release what he's already set inside of you.
Amen.
So just touching her hand. You know, you'll see me around the altar. You'll see some, I love my staff. We all have different personalities. And I love, you know, Brother Ted too. Brother Ted, if he's praying for you, whack! If you don't go down the spirit, you're going out just period. Doesn't matter. Shambach was the same way. But I had people accuse me back in the early days, you're pushing people over. So I very rarely even barely touch anybody when I'm praying for them. You know, mainly what I'll do, can I pray with you?
Sure.
Come on up here. Mainly what I do is I'll just take them by the hand. Yeah, especially if I see them really nervous. Usually a new person, I very rarely, how many of you have ever taken your hand and prayed for you around the altar? Yep, very good. You know why? I saw you were nervous. And I didn't want to freak you. I wanted you to still be ready to receive. And so simply what I'll do many times when I'm laying hands on somebody is I'll barely touch them. Because I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to muscle this through. Because it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with who's in me. My part of this, I'm not the healer. My part is allow him to work through me. So when I lay hands on people, I just barely touch them and I'll release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I release your presence. God, I thank you that you're going to change her life as the anointing is going in. I don't know. Can you feel that? I can.
Yeah.
Here comes some more. Now I'm barely touching her. Here comes some more. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pushing her. Mm-hmm. Not making her go backwards. I'm not bang your head. You need to understand. This is very important for you to understand. You're good?
Okay.
It's important to understand because we made releasing the anointing so freaky. It's not freaky. It's normal. It's normal. I just ripped a 20 in half. So, if you saw somebody in need, it's a normal thing for you to take money out of your pocket. It's not a big deal. And to say, would you like $10? You didn't have to go, "Oh God, I thank thee in thy heavenly powers that thou hast given me $10 of American coinage to be able to bestow upon those who would be in need. Lord, as I handeth this $10 billeth to the saint of God, let it permeate, O God, every area of their finances." No, that's stupid. It's stupid. The $10 is resident. I don't need to make a big deal of it. But watch. I take my hand, put it in my hand, and I transfer. You can have that too. Transfer. It's simple, isn't it? Don't make it weird. Jesus didn't make it weird. When he touched Peter's mother-in-law, the anointing is released. He didn't have to pray for her. Didn't have to dance around her. He just touched her. See, this is the difference between somebody who doesn't understand the anointing and someone who does. Now, as a pastor, I very much usually recognize young believers who are very excited about praying for people. And I get excited about that. I get excited about watching the young believer growing in their faith. But I always know they're young when they're praying for somebody for 10 minutes. I remember once I'm praying and releasing the power of God, and then the Holy Spirit said, "Will you shut up?" Well, no, really, it took me back because I didn't understand what he was saying. He said, "Listen, you don't need to pray. Will you let me do my job? Yeah. Let me do it. It's not about how good you can pray or saying the right prayer. Will you let me do my job?" So sometimes when I pray for you, and really, most of the time when I'm praying for people around the altar, you very rarely hear me pray a thing. Sometimes I'll just say, "In the name of Jesus." And what am I doing? I'm releasing the anointing as I'm laying hands on you. Why am I doing that? It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, not the prayer. And so many times, the Holy Spirit will not have me say anything to anybody. Just simply lay hands on them and release the anointing. And when that happens, the power of heaven, not the power of a church, not the power of a preacher, not the power of a person, but the power of heaven, the Holy Spirit who brooded over the earth, he was at creation, the Holy Spirit, that the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, the one who is on this earth working the supernatural works of God, he dwells, and what happens when you lay hands, his power is then released in that person's life. Remember, people very rarely, when they go to the apple orchard, look at the bark. They're waiting for the fruit. You and I are the bark. This is where a lot of preachers go off and people go off. When they think that their bark is prettier than the apple. You and I are just conduits. And the beginning elementary principle is the laying on of hands. And so that's what Jesus did. Here we go. Mark chapter 8, verse 3. "And then Jesus put his hand out and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So the laying on of hands, that conduit principle, is the basic elementary school. Now I want you to recognize that, how many of you went to elementary school? How many of them went to I don't know what you guys call it. We call it 7th and 8th grade. Middle school. We didn't even call it middle school when I was a kid. I'm going to 7th grade. Junior high. How many went to junior high? How many went to high school? How many went to college? How many went to graduate college? Awesome. Very good. Well, that's college. So you went and you continued to climb the educational ladder. You need to know that just as we grow with knowledge, we grow in the anointing. So everyone starts off the same way. We all got to start laying hands on people. We all got to start. Now listen, and this is what I want to say right off the bat. I'm not talking you run around the church on a Sunday morning slapping people in the head, getting people out in the parking lot. I'm talking about you really want to be used in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, go where the sinners are. Everyone wants to be used in church. I mean, that's where it's easy, you know what I mean? You need to go where the people are. You know, don't be afraid to lay hands on people at Walmart. Really? Well, unless go on break only. Don't be afraid to pray for people when you're at Tops or when you're at Wegmans or when you're out at the mall. Don't be afraid to pray for people. You know, I came across a group of men that were sitting around at the mall one day, and one guy said to me, "I know you. Where's your beautiful wife, Rhonda?" So he watched the commercial. And we started talking. And before I left, I laid hands on him and I prayed over him. "Well, Pastor, did you see any mighty working of God?" "No, but I don't need to." Why? Because I know what happened. Whether he knows what happened, whether he understands what happened, the anointing of God was released into his life, and God, by the anointing, destroys yokes of bondage. Therefore, I don't understand completely, but everything will start to change in his life because the anointing is released.
Amen.
When you understand that, then you start really living in elementary school. 1 + 1 = 2 + 2 = 4 + 4 = 8. 8 + 8 = 16 + 16 = 32 + 32 =
64.
Now, some of you know it's just because you know computers. 64 + 64 = 128. Boy, it's getting quieter in here, isn't it? But you see what I mean? You learn. You're learning. And this is where you have got to be willing to practice. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if it does? Did it work? It worked. Was that the first time you had ever done that in your entire life? Yes.
I called my sister. She was like a doctor. She was like, "No, I'm
Stephen." I'm telling you, the sister didn't even want to respond, and she works at the hospital. Steve lays hands on his daughter, and God heals her. First time he's ever laid hands on anybody.
Praise God.
Well, is he a preacher? No. What he's doing is he's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through him. And that's what you are. You need to know that. You need to grasp that. You need to live this. This is life. This is not something that is figurative. This is not something that's false. This is not something that is just a nice high in the pie sky theology. This is who God says you are. You are anointed of the Holy Spirit. You have the power of heaven dwelling inside of you. You need to release the anointing. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
That's right.
Some people say, "Well, you know, did you prayed for somebody? Did a lot happen?" It doesn't have to happen in front of me. I've had most miracles. Truthfully, I won't say most. Many miracles that I have seen through our ministry, I never felt a thing going out of me, and it wasn't until the next morning that I heard the testimony. But you see, when you want it to be about you, then you got to see it all yourself. Oh no. It's about you and I allowing ourselves to be who God's called us to be. The problem is, if you don't do it, who will? Yeah. You're going to come in contact with people I'll never meet. You're going to be around people that your pastor will never be around. Because he hasn't called me to them. He's called you to them. And your nice religiosity doesn't cut it. It doesn't fix anything. No matter if somebody's in poverty, destitution, or living in great, posh and beautiful situation financially. Finances doesn't fix. I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me they came across, I think I said this, but I'm sorry, I'll repeat myself. They came across a very, very wealthy woman in our community. Old money, very, very wealthy. And this woman has gone through a lot of hardship. She lost her husband not too long ago, emotionally very much struggling. And she was talking to this individual, and this is what she said. She said, "You know, the rich are very much treated with great prejudice." And most of her are going, "What?" And she said, "Yep." She said, "I found a great prejudice against people with money." She said, "Because people actually believe just because we have money, all of our problems are fixed." She said, "We have the same hurts, the same wounds, the same emotions, the same experiences. And money can't fix those things."
Amen.
So whether you're ministering to somebody who's got nothing, living on the streets, eating out of the garbage can, Or you're ministering to somebody who's living up in a $5 million edifice. It doesn't matter. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, not you. Now, once you start graduating, and I remember starting to lay hands on people, it was a lot of fun. And sometimes I'd see the great things, sometimes I wouldn't see anything. But as I started, my faith started growing, and I started stepping into the anointing more and started working in the anointing. And really, that's what it is. You learn to work within. Now, I remember my dad's a contractor, or was a contractor, and I remember I had to work for him. Now, my father didn't really give me anything. My father told me, if you want this, I've got work for you. I was unhappy then. I'm happy now. It gave me a great work ethic. And so here I was, my father. He said, we're going to roof this house. We were in Athol, Massachusetts. We're going to roof this house. I said, oh, okay, you know, what do you want me to do? He says, I'm going to line them up. You drive the nails in. And he handed me a 20 ounce framing hammer with a waffle head. Now, if you don't know what that is, just simply say this, pain. So here I am. He says, now listen, you should only have to hit that once. You pop it between here and bang, move your thumb. So we had worked a few hours and I'm up higher than he is, you know, because we're working across. And I went, bam, and I did not move my thumb. And I took the top of that thumb right off. Whew. No, really, I mean, it was nasty. Jay, before you leave tonight, man, don't let me forget to show you a picture or something. I got a picture. I can't show you all. Y'all get grossed out. Brother Tiff showed me a picture of something. It's just really nasty. So anyways, took the top of my thumb right off. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He said, stick your head between your legs and get over it. We got work to do. But let me tell you something. I learned, move your thumb. Good principle. Now, I didn't learn that. I didn't learn that without a little bit of pain. So you need to know that you need to practice no matter if somebody rejects you, no matter if you see something, you don't see something. Listen, the more I practiced with that hammer, I got good, man. Bam, bam, bam. And we didn't have a pneumatic. Just bam, 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 that 20-ounce hammer. And I finished that day out. I wrapped that up. I wasn't feeling great, but I got the thing done. And I did not hit my thumb again. Why? Well, I was practicing, and I really focused on my practice. And that's what we do when we lay hands on people. You've got to get out there and start practicing. Lay hands on your cat. Lay hands on your dog. Lay hands on your wife. Lay hands on your husband. Lay hands on your enemy. Amen? Lay hands on yourself. You need to lay hands on yourself. You need to start practicing releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, that's right. Come on. Lay hands on yourself. Okay, let's do that. Lay hands on yourself. Everybody do that. We'll do this first, right? Take your right hand. Right hand always represents authority. Lay hands on yourself. And I want you just to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit into your body. How do we do this? What am I doing? Am I doing your right? You'll grow. So if nothing else, you say, in Jesus' name. Say it right out loud. In Jesus' name, I release the anointing into my life. In the name of Jesus. Now. And whether you recognize it or not, the anointing is going out of your spirit man, where the Holy Ghost abides, going through your hand and going back into your body. That's how the power of God works. Don't make this freaky. This is really easy. You're a conduit. And whether you're laying hands on yourself, whether you're laying hands on Steve, whether you're laying hands on St. Francis of Assisi, it really doesn't matter. You can release the anointing of God into a person's life. And that's what God wants to start using you. So you need to do it all the time. I got a question back here first. Yes.
I'm not crazy. My cat got really sick. Her eye was leaking. Mm-hmm.
Laid hands on your cat.
I picked her up and held her. And
yeah.
Held her, and the next day she was better.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible says that when they left Egypt, even all their animals were healthy.
Yeah.
God wants your animal healthy. You don't want to know why? Because he doesn't want you to spend money on the vet. Sow that money into the kingdom. Listen, if you're sowing the money into the animal, are you going to sow it into the kingdom? No, I mean, the enemy just steals your money. Yes?
No, but you don't have to say that, right?
You don't have to say that. But this is elementary school. 1 + 1 is? Okay, so we're just elementary school. I can think in my head 1 + 1 equals.
Right.
But when I'm learning, I need to say it out loud. And so you just learn. This is growing. And you'll grow into where you don't have to say a word. Your faith level is to a place where now you know. When you lay hands on somebody, automatically, supernaturally, the anointing is going to be released. Well, I didn't feel it. It doesn't matter whether you feel anything. If you release the anointing, it has to go. You have to, and again, remember the pump? You have to release the anointing out of you. So there has to be a conscious understanding. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm not always pumping on my heels, but I know that if I lay hands on her, and in my spirit, I'm releasing the anointing, I know the power of God's leaving me and going into her. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So if the anointing touches someone, it changes them, whether they feel a thing or not.
So neither person has to feel anything.
Nope, neither person has to feel anything. Neither person. Yes?
Last week you said try it on yourself soap.
Yes.
I went home that night, woke up, said, all right, that's gone. My dog was sick, like a cat. I thought she was going to really die. It was that sort of shake that a 10-year-old dog gets, and you're going,
yep.
You ate something toxic. Next morning, she's fine. So my contractor's over the following day. I'm going, I'm going to try this. He's a believer. Mm-hmm. He goes out and has a smoke on, you know, I'm home at lunchtime, and he's a believer.
Yep.
And he was saying, he sees your show, and he says, I don't get this. I see a lot of crazy stuff. So I explained to him, and I put hands on him at that time. And it was neat to see him just accept it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of his curiosity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And his questions that he's been asking about. You know, he's had cancer himself, and it was pretty cool. So if
you never practice, you'll never get good. Yes.
So
now remember, I got to repeat pretty much everything you say. So over here with Joel, his dog got healed, and he was able to pray for a contractor. Yes.
Last Thursday or Friday, you know what happened.
Yes.
So we were outside watching. He was watching the car, and I was helping out. And I was just standing there, just kind of watching him because he got the power washers doing his thing. And I had my hands in my pocket, and I'm like, I put my hand out of my pocket, and I was like, my finger is killing me. You said that, and it didn't register, and I'm like, I have to go do something. So I start walking by my husband, like really fancy. He takes the trigger off the power washer, and it stops. He goes, where are you going? And I just looked at him. He goes, you're going to lay hands. He knew what I was going to do. So I went, and I bypassed him. I went, and I was inside with my daughter.
Amen.
And she's like, what are you doing, Mom? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But I put my hands on her.
That's right. Yes.
Really
feel.
Right.
Yep. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And you know, honestly, you're going to ask yourself that question. Am I doing this right? Of course you're doing it right. You're just doing what Jesus told you to do. So don't second guess yourself. Just start releasing. And listen, the more you're used to 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 4 = 8. Do you remember when you first started learning that? Mm-hmm. No, you probably don't. But I guarantee it wasn't. Well, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. I doubt it was like that at all. It was like 1 + 1 =. You learn, you grow, you mature. And this is the imperative part about you and I stepping out on nothing to land on something. We have got to allow God to use our lives, but what's happened is the body of Christ has been stymied because they don't understand how the anointing and what the anointing is and how to release the anointing. But if you are not going to allow God to use you, then people around you are going to die. Physically, spiritually and emotionally. You have been sent to them. You were not born 100 years ago. You are not living in Florida right now. You are right here at this time, at this moment of history. Why? Because God needs you to touch a certain amount of people that only you can touch.
Here now.
What if they're a different faith?
What if they're a different faith? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The anointing destroys all yokes of bondage. Now, what's awesome is you don't have to see anything. I know people that have been completely backslidden. I mean, serving the devil well. And you lay hands on them and release the power of God, feel it or not feel it, and then the Holy Spirit will start bringing back verses in the middle of the night while they're sleeping. We call him the Hound of Heaven for a good reason. All of a sudden, they'll start getting a drawing back to the kingdom. They'll start seeing that what they're in is not the answer. Well, how did that happen? That happened because you jump-started. Anybody have a jump-start anything with your car? Me too. My poor lawnmower. I have a lawnmower that I usually get two lawn mows and then it's got to go back to get fixed. I don't know how I break it. I mean, I don't even have a half an acre. But I mean, I bent the blades three times and the last time I went out, it was dead. I mean, I had Kira with me and Kira said, I'd like to mow the lawn. I mean, that scared me. Kira's never driven anything and I was scared. And so I went out and she mowed for a little bit and it ran out of gas. So I went and got the gas, filled the gas tank. And then I'm turning it over and some junk from the gas tank must've gotten into the filter and it just wasn't starting. And I ran the battery dead. So I looked at Kira and said, okay, let's go get the extension cord. Let's go get the jump. And so we went in there and I hooked up the battery charger and it came on, did its thing. I said, okay, let's go. So we went off. I don't remember what we did, but we went off. We came back to the house about an hour later. I took the charger off and put it away. Now, did I have to sit there and watch the charger?
No.
Why? Because the electricity was going through and doing what it was supposed to do, and it was being released by what? The clips that were laid hand on. Came back, took it off, room. Listen, I didn't see it all happen. I didn't understand how it all happened. But I understood that it has to happen. When I put that charger on there, it has to charge that battery. It does what it's supposed to do. When you lay hands on somebody, you might not know exactly what you're doing, but the anointing has to do what it's supposed to do. That's elementary school. Now, in the process of growth, there are other ways to release the anointing. Another way, when your faith starts increasing, it's called speaking the word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Now watch, he's paralyzed. We're not talking like, you know, he's got a zit on his right ear. The guy's paralyzed. Okay? Can't get up. He's paralyzed. Dreadfully tormented, which means he's in agony, physical pain. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. So Jesus said, okay, I'll come and heal him. And this is what the guy said. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, without question, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, Jesus would have gone and laid hands on this guy who was paralyzed. But the centurion said, no, you don't got to do that. He said, I know who you are. I'm a man of authority. I tell a guy to go and he goes. I tell him to come and he comes. He has to obey me. I'm his authority. And I know you are under authority. So he's recognizing the anointing and the power and the submission to God himself. He says, if you just speak the word, I know the power. Watch. This is what he's showing. The power is not connected to just laying on of hands. The power of God can be released where there is no time, there is no dimension, and there is no distance. So Jesus, when he spoke the word, it went all the way to the house. He had never met the guy who was paralyzed. It went all the way to that guy's house. The anointing went through the walls, through the ceiling, through the doors, touched the man, and the guy who was paralyzed got up and was healed from that very moment. Why? Because the anointing is not constrained by distance or by only having to touch people. Watch. The laying on of hands is elementary school. You know, when, let's say, Reinhard Bonnke. Has anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? He preaches to millions of people on a consistent basis. There's no way for him to lay hands on everybody. No way. So he'll stand up there and there'll be literally a sea of faces, a sea of people that are blind, that are deaf, that are crippled, that are paralyzed, a sea of people. And he'll go like this: in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. And all of a sudden, people start screaming. The blind are able to see. The deaf are able to hear. Crutches, canes are flying in the air. Wheelchairs are being held overhead. If you ever have a chance, you can go on YouTube, look at a Reinhard Bonnke crusade. You'll find usually the entire pulpit area is filled with all the paraphernalia that people had to use to get themselves healthy. Well, why is that? Because he spoke the word. It was impossible to lay hands on every single person. So he spoke the word. When he spoke the word, what happened? The anointing went. Whew. And when the anointing went out, what's the anointing do? What's the anointing do? Gives you the power to do work on behalf of God. So the same work would have happened if you laid hands on them, but you just couldn't reach them all. So you release the anointing by the spoken word, and God will change lives. I do that all the time. I do it all the time. I don't have a choice. I'm praying for people literally all over the world. I was praying for a man in another country. I was on Skype. Couldn't touch him. Skype. Thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away. And I said, get ready. Here comes the anointing. I release the anointing. Get ready. He's coming on you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately he was filled with the Holy Spirit across the world, and his life was changed. Healing, casting out devils, all of that is easy. With the power of the spoken word, when you recognize the anointing that you carry. But you got to start somewhere, right? So you start with the laying on of hands. If you're never going to lay hands on somebody, then don't worry, you'll never speak the word.
Amen.
You're never going to get into division if you don't get into addition. Okay? You got to mature, and that means you got to practice. Well, you know, I don't know who to lay hands on. Lay hands on anybody. What are they going to do? Tell you to stop? Okay, I'll stop. Then find somebody else. Another way that the anointing is released is through tangible objects. Acts chapter 19, 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. When what? When the handkerchiefs or aprons, when remember what was happening was he was preaching the gospel. And the anointing started permeating his clothes. Well, let me tell you something. I learned a long time ago, when I'm around an anointed man of God, if he takes his coat off, I want to hold his coat. I want to be the one to hold the coat. Why? Because I'm getting everything I can out of that coat. I remember Brother Ted came to Zion Bible Institute when I was just a student. There was 500 of us in the sanctuary, and we had a pastor back then. His name was Bill, Pastor Bill. And Pastor Bill was extremely boring. No, I didn't say boring. I said extremely boring. We call it Uncle Bill's Story Hour. He was a missionary for many years. He was in his late 70s, and he'd stand up behind the pulpit and just tell some of his stories, and he never had any voice inflection. He just simply was monotone. It was Uncle Bill's Story Hour. Brother Ted came to the service, and he said, "The Lord just showed me that many of you are mocking this old man, but he's got more anointing in his coat than you've got in your entire life." So if you want a double portion of the Holy Spirit, you better get in line right now. Maybe I was first in line. And he looked at the old guy and he said, you hold one arm and I'll hold the other. He said to the congregation, if you want the anointing, go underneath the coat. Oh, let me tell you something. When you hit that coat, it was just like an electrical box exploded in your life. There were people literally piling up on the other side of that coat where they had to start dragging them away. People took off dancing from that coat. People were delivered that night. People were healed that night. All because, why? The tangible anointing literally permeated the fibers of the fabric of the coat. And when you touched it with your believer, you were set free. It was an amazing night. I'll never forget that night. Never forget that night. It changed my life. I'm where I am right now because of that old man's coat. And this is where some people come up and ask me for the handkerchiefs. You're smart. Poor Terry's got to handle my wet coat on Sunday. They actually iron my shirt many times between services. And you know what? It is an awesome privilege that they can iron my shirt after the services and hang onto my coat. And it is nasty, nasty drenched. Oh, is that saying that I'm the man of God, anointed of the Holy? Yes, exactly. That is exactly what I'm telling you. And while I'm preaching his word, it is literally, even though it's through the sweat, going right into the fabric of that coat, right into the fabric of my clothing. And let me tell you, if you have the faith to draw that anointing out, it will change your life. And it's the same with you. You're anointed too. You know, I remember telling a story about Brother Shambach. Brother Shambach, there was an evangelist, he was preaching. A woman came up and handed him a piece of candy. And he started unwrapping it. He says, no, don't unwrap that. Don't unwrap that. She says, I want you to wear that. I want you to keep that with you. And he said, oh, I don't understand. And she said, well, I'm trying to remember who it was. I have it written down. My sister is in an insane asylum. I have to write these things down sometimes I forget. In an insane asylum, and they steal all her clothing and stuff. So I want you to wear that candy, and I'm going to bring it to her, and I'm going to watch her eat that and watch God set her free. He said, okay. Put it in his pocket. When he's done preaching, he handed it to her. She took it to her sister. She opened the candy. She ate it. And within a week, she was out of the insane asylum because it drove out the devils that were keeping her there. This is real stuff. This isn't just figurative. This isn't just thought. The anointing is real. There was a great evangelist in the 1950s. He used to send out tens of thousands of newsletters of his ministry. It was T.L. Osborne. And what he would do is before he did, he would lay hands on the paper. Why? Because paper's porous. Lay hands on the paper and release the anointing into every newsletter that would be going across. He put them in a pile, lay hands on it, release the anointing. And on a consistent basis, in fact, one that they were talking about specifically, it went across the ocean into Africa. And the woman who opened that letter was miraculously healed by simply touching the paper. Why is that? The anointing is tangible. It's touchable. It's releasable. It is not figurative. It is not floating. It is real and life transforming. Now, here's a real funky one. I always love to talk about this one just because it's fun to talk about. I could have left this out of the book, but I just can't leave this one out of the book. And that is spitting. What? Now, let me tell you, we live in America. You start spitting on people, they get really mad. What are you doing? What are you spitting on me for? In fact, we have the spit zone at church, and it's hard to get people in that spit zone. Mark chapter 7, 33 through 35, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger in his ears and spat and touched his tongue. That's a little gross, don't you think? Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, that is, be opened. Immediately, remember, look at, he didn't pray to God. He spoke to the sickness. Be opened. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. I love this one. There was an evangelist, it's in the archives of the Assemblies of God, who was known as the spitting evangelist. He would go from church to church. Instead of laying hands on people, he'd spit on you. Pretty gross, eh? So he went to this one church, and there was a man whose arm only grew out, as a birth defect, only grew out to about the elbow. He had a little hand on the end of the elbow. And the spitting evangelist walked up, spit on that, and it grew right in front of everybody. Jesus spit on three people. We freak out about that today, though. We don't even like the double dip. Glory to God. Here's another one. The anointing can be released through the shadow, the very shadows of people. Acts chapter 5, 14 and 15. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of them, of men and women. And they brought the sick out onto the streets and laid them on their beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on them, it might fall on some of them. And they were healed. Jesus also, with his shadow, healed people. Now remember, we're talking about, this is getting into the college world. But if you never lay hands on anybody, don't worry, you're never going to college. You'll learn how to release the anointing where you could be across the place from where you're working and you see somebody that's sick and you can stand there and say, in Jesus' name, I release the anointing on their body. Sometimes you'll see me up at the altar. I'll go just like that. The Lord showed me who to pray for and I just can't always get down to the congregation. I'll just pray from right from there and I'll just release the anointing. Sometimes you'll see me, and you probably saw me Sunday just like this. Lord, I just release your anointing. I am literally releasing the presence of God into the room, especially as the spiritual father of the house. That's my responsibility, releasing the anointing. Some of us, well, I don't see anything. It doesn't matter whether you see it. It matters whether or not you receive it. The reception that you have determines the levels that you will receive. Now, you can lay hands, especially on a sinner, on somebody who doesn't even know God, and they'll automatically receive the anointing because they don't know any different. But I found many believers don't believe or are afraid of the anointing. And so when you start to pray for them, they get afraid. That's why I'll pray for some people by just holding their hands. I'll see fear in their eyes. And you know something? God did not bring a spirit of fear.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. So your reception of the anointing plays a massive part on what is going to happen, because when you have that point of contact, when you have that point of touch, when you have that point of reception, the anointing can be released even in a greater dimension, in a greater way, in Jesus' name. I've watched a woman when she was playing drums, every time she hit the snare, there was a reverberation of the anointing all the way through the congregation, and people were healed just simply every time she hit the snare. You and I have to have a point of contact, and that is extremely important. My brother-in-law, Chad, I don't know how many of you know him. My brother-in-law, Chad, one time when he was fresh in the gospel, we had a speaker up at our church. And my brother-in-law was afraid. He was scared. And so the evangelist just walked up to him and started tugging on his tie. It didn't take long before Chad went like this. What happened was, when he dropped his fear and guard, the anointing immediately penetrated, and he went out in the spirit straight down. Just by going like this. Well, why? Because his fear eliminated the point of contact. When I put the jumper cables on that battery, they had to be hooked to the battery. I couldn't hook it to the fender. Had to be to the battery for that battery to receive the necessity. The more you're open to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the more you'll receive. And again, I've already explained this before, but when I go through a prayer line, I very rarely start at the beginning. I walk until I see faith. Jesus saw faith. The book of Acts, it describes and sees faith. What is faith? Faith is, I am ready to receive. I am postured, positioned in the spirit. I want what God has for me. And what happens is, when faith and the anointing touch, there is always a supernatural explosion. There's no trickle charge here. You'll automatically get that boost. Schwack! So your faith and my faith, this is the point of contact that God has and that we need. Faith is the releaser of the energy of heaven, the power of heaven that abides within you. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? You need to read his books. They're free online, by the way. You can download them free, PDFs online. Here's a good one. Here's one of the stories right out of his books. Here we go. Yeah, I can't even say his name. Harfouche, thank you very much. Mentioned in one meeting, A.A. Allen and Smith Wigglesworth as great men. He then tells a story of how he was shocked at what they would do under the anointing. But the Holy Spirit was telling him to do the same. He related a story about how God spoke to him to punch a woman in her deteriorating jaw. So he punched her in the face. She hit the floor out cold. And when she came to, she was healed by the power of God. He punched another in the stomach and healed a tumor. I hate to think that he'd, what he'd do to an impotent man. Yeah, woo. This is suspiciously similar to Kenneth Hagin's Tales of the Spirit. And why not? The Rodney Howard Brown connection to Hagin is there. If you can find in the Bible any apostle physically to do such a thing to anyone, please inform me on this. Harfouche does not seem to take the Wigglesworth approach. A woman in tormenting pain came up for prayer. Her back was deteriorating. He said, "Turn around and show me where it is." When I said that, the pastor knew I was going to hit her in the back. His wife knew I was going to hit her in the back, and his wife knew I was going to hit her in the back. Later, the pastor told me, "I almost stopped you and said, don't hit her in the back. She's in a lot of pain." But before he could talk me out of it, I hit her in the back, and she was completely healed by the power of God. Why? Because there is a knowing that can operate in you. Smith Wigglesworth once punted a baby who was sick right off the pulpit. Boom! And when it hit the floor, it was completely healed. One of my favorite stories of Smith Wigglesworth, there was a man who came for the service, and he was in a wheelchair. And so he told the ushers, "Pick him up!" So they picked him up. This is in front of all the massive crowd of people. "Pick him up! Drop him!" The guy collapsed to the ground. "Pick him up again! Drop him! Pick him up again! Drop him!" On the seventh time, the crowd is getting really riled up. And they're starting to scream at him that he's mean and cruel. And this is what he told them. "Shut up! This is my service. If you don't like it, get out. Pick him up!" Dropped him. "Pick him up!" Dropped him. On the tenth time, "Pick him up!" Didn't fall. He took off around that congregation, completely healed and set free in Jesus' name. And he was healed from that day forward. I'm telling you, American churches are so unique because our faith levels are so low. So low. I can prove it. Some people won't raise their hand because they're afraid of what someone's going to think about them. What if God told you to go lay down on the altar that you'd get your healing when you got up? Would you do it?
Absolutely.
What would you do if God told you to do it to get what you were believing for? I remember one time the Lord spoke to me. It was at an offering. And the man of God stood up and he said, "The Lord showed me that there are 10 people in this room that are going to give me $300 right now. They're going to sow $300. Now, I don't usually like that. But you know what? The anointing was on that offering. And I looked at my wife and said, "We're ones." And we stood up there. And my wife whispered, "We don't got that kind of money." That's when I was making $10 a week as a pastor. And I said, "Well, you know what? I felt led of the Lord. He's going to provide. For God gives seed to the sower." And then he prayed over us. He says, "I release an anointing for prosperity in your life. I release an anointing for increase in your life. Because you've sown this seed, you will see a harvest in your life." I looked at my wife and I said, "We better go find some money." I'm not encouraging to write rubber checks. But we went back, and my wife got in the checkbook and found where she missed the deposit, and then the exact deposit was? Listen, I am blessed. I don't have $1 million in the bank. I don't have $100,000 in the bank. But I have everything I want and everything I need, and anything I desire, I always get. Why? Because I know how to have faith connect with the anointing to release the power of God to get whatever I need, health, wealth, or anything. The anointing is waiting to be released in your life. The anointing is waiting for you to start with elementary school. This week, your homework is you have to pray for 10 people. You have to lay hands on 10 people. Now, some of you are going to do this. You've written it down. You're writing down the homework. Some of you are going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I want you to lay hands on 10 people. And I don't want you to be a wuss. No secret stuff. Well, I laid hands on 10 people. Did they know? No. No secret stuff. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to pray that God will fill you and give you a fresh boldness. But I want you to pray for 10 people, and I want them to know you're praying for them. Speak and release the anointing. Don't be weird. Men, I'm going to set some rules. Men pray with men. I was just going to do a really bad thing. I got to. There is no, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus. None of that stuff. I didn't do that, so let's move on. It's very important. Men pray with men, women pray with women, unless it's your spouse or your children. Is that understood?
Yes.
We do that because we're not trying to propagate foolishness.
Amen.
Well, I like to pray for the ladies. Keep your hands off them. We have a security team. We'll slap cups on you and throw you in the closet.
Was that, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but you had said, you know, you can pray for people that are non-believers.
Yes.
And so I have an issue with a child. So I did that. And I want to keep doing that, but you're saying to tell him and he's going to kick me
out. Oh, no, don't tell him. Tell another 10.
Okay.
Tell another 10. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you just keep laying hands. And come get that handkerchief on Sunday. You put it in his pillowcase.
Wow.
Go take some anointing oil. Anoint his bedroom. Mess him up.
Where's the oil?
You can go get it out of your cupboard. No special oil because there's no power in the oil. The oil is the representation of the Holy Spirit. And when you put that over, you're saying, Holy Spirit, I'm giving you, because I'm over this house. It's your house, not his house. I'm giving you the right to go into this room and to touch his life. Amen. Amen. Come on, Mama. Mama's taking over. Mama's taking over. She's going to take care of this thing. Amen. I'm telling you something. The power of God is able, and the power of God is not hovering. The power of God is dwelling. Get it out of you. You're going to find some amazing things. God's going to use you to heal people this week. He's going to use you as a conduit to heal people. He's going to use you as a conduit to encourage people. They're going to feel the power of God. And those who don't feel the power of God, you watch now that you've activated. Come on, you put it on the jumper. You're going to see them start to change without you doing anything. It's the anointing. Okay? Does everybody understand? Are we lost? Are we good? Do you understand?
Yes.
How many people are going to pray for this week?
Ten.
I'm not doing it. Good. Stay in elementary school. Well, it's not my personality. Who lied to you? For the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The word fear there means timidity. God's not giving you timidity. He's giving you a boldness to share the gospel of Christ that will change your life. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Get out there. God is waiting for you. I want that same testimony. I don't want anybody healed in this church anymore. In fact, I want everybody already healed. I don't really want to have to see the people saved in the church. I don't want to have to give an altar call every service, although I'll never stop. I want them all saved and you're bringing them in. That's the true evidence of revival. Amen. Revival is not a uchi-guchi feeling around the altar. That's God dumping more in you so you can give more out of you. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Do you want us to tell these people we're praying for them?
Yes.
These are all work people that I would know. They're not going to be real receptive to that.
You don't even know that. You watch up. I'm going to show you how to do it. Ready? You know, you're on break, not during work. You got to honor your boss. You know, they're paying you to do a job, not to pray for people. Okay? And you can walk up and say, you know what, maybe on break. You know, is there anything that I could pray with you for? And you know what? Everybody has something. And they might say, well, not really. Can I pray with you anyways? Very few of them will ever say no. Very few. Yes? Two nurses that she works with laid hands on her and literally saved her life out of the blue.
Amen.
No lie. No lie. So you don't recognize, man, God's just been waiting to launch you in out of elementary school. Okay? So it's time to start. Right? You're all right with that? You're going to get 10? Amen. You're going for 20? I love that. Yes, sir.
I have kind of a different story. I was born again probably 4 years ago, and I've been baptized in the church.
Yep. Born again about 4 years, been baptized for two?
2 years ago. My niece was 55 years old last year. She was sick in the hospital.
Yep.
And I laid hands on her.
Yep.
I wasn't sure what I was doing, but I wanted to.
Yep.
She passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't ruin my faith in him, because
right.
I always say, if it's your will.
Right. And you got to know this. It's always God's will to heal. So you don't ever pray that. That's a cancellation prayer. The moment you pray, God, if it's your will, you've just canceled the will. Because faith is never mingled with doubt. Then see what happens with, let me tell you about pastors. Ready? The pastors in our region, we're really pretty much the only ones who preach it's always God's will to heal. Yeah. Even though it's Bible, even though it's part of your covenant rights. What you usually hear about the preachers in the area is they'll lay hands on you and say, Lord, if it's your will, we ask that you'll heal them. There is no faith. God is not moved by hope. God is moved by faith. So if you are going to release faith, that releases the anointing. If you're going to pray in doubt, it does nothing. It's a dud. You ever lit a firecracker and it went, and nothing happened? That's a dud. So what happens is when you do not pray in faith, that was an awesome, thank you so much for that, because that needs to be said. When you pray for people, it's not, Lord, if it be your will. Jesus prayed that once. Everybody say once. And he already knew the will of God. Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. That was the only time he ever prayed it in the Bible, period. I don't know why churches use it all the time. It doesn't make sense. What is a cop-out? No, you just don't know. I'm not nailing you. Because as a pastor, I used to do that before I understood how to move in the anointing.
Some place in the Bible, and I don't know where, but I can remember where I believe it was Jesus was speaking to someone, and if you believe, he said to him, and he says, I believe or I have faith, but please increase my faith.
Yes, increase my faith. Just like the anointing is measurable, faith is measurable. Jesus said to some, O ye of little. Jesus said to some, O ye of great. And the disciple says, Lord, increase. So the anointing is increasable, which also corresponds with the anointing being increasable, faith being increasable, which means a greater release of power.
Last week, you were saying how you laid hands on the lady's car.
Yes.
Her car.
Yep.
When we left here last week, we had a flat tire right here. We made it out to, we didn't know it until we got out to the road here.
Okay.
Pulled across the street, parked the car. Got the jack out, and I thought, geez, the pastor just said this, and you talked about synergy.
Yes.
So I thought maybe we can get a few people. But again, doubt creeped in. I didn't know.
Yep.
So we fixed it the old-fashioned way, and when I pulled the tire off, I don't know what it's called, that the brake pads go up against the stop. Well, that come off with the tire. It was rusted on.
Ooh, that's not good, by the way.
That, yeah. Well,
just wanted to say that.
But the thing is, we still had to put the donut on. I couldn't do
right.
that and drive it home like that. No brakes. We live in Waverly. Thank God we made it all the way with no brakes.
That's the hand of heaven.
But there was, I thought, geez, the pastor just said, but I didn't, we didn't try it.
And not only, you got to practice. So, you know, for me, I remember praying for folks and nothing happened. But that's okay. I'm not the healer anyways. You know, people say to me, what if they don't get healed? I honestly, it doesn't bother me. Because, you know, I just know this. I haven't been called to heal them. I've been called to pray for them and to release the anointing. So obey God. You'll be all right. And just keep practicing. The more you practice, the more you get fluid. The more you get fluid, the more it's normal. The more it's normal, the more faith is released. The more faith is released, the more you graduate. You keep going to different levels. And man, now I know I can just literally stand here and I can release the anointing over to Jay. And I know the Holy Spirit will come upon Jay Parmeter right there in Jesus' name if I release the anointing. I know that. How do I know that? Because
he has faith.
Well, whether he has faith or not, I know it will go because I have faith. It works. So practice. Amen?
Amen?
Anybody have any questions? Yes.
One more.
Yes.
You said that we only are supposed to give the access, but how do we know if we're full?
The more you're in prayer, okay. Doing devotions like we talked about on Sunday, being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The last two nights, I've been listening to the Bible all night long. All night long. It's on all night long. I think I turned it off last night at 3 a.m., simply because I got up to go pee and I came back and I climbed in bed and I think it was just a natural reaction to turn off. But, you know, I've been listening to the word and I'll tell you why. Because where I was at my grandmother's, going for my grandmother's funeral, I had to sleep in my mother's house. There is no way for me to get up in my mother's house and to spend the hours that I usually spend with the Lord. In the daytime. I don't have that capability. I knew the day was going to be full. I knew the morning, my stepdad gets up really early. There's no private time for me there. So I just saturated myself with the word. What's word do? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is alive. The word of God is real. The word of God transforms. The word of God heals. Jesus is the word. So the more word I got in me, my faith started to rise. And that whole day, man, when I got up and did my part at the funeral, man, I was able to share the word of God clearly with them. And watching people weep, it's a powerful thing. That's the anointing. Okay? That's you. Turn to somebody and say, that's you, by the way. It's important because everyone thinks it's about the preacher. It's not about the preacher. It's about you. Amen?
Amen?
Father, I just release your anointing in this room right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that, Lord, every single person in this room is anointed. That, God, every one of us in this room has a call. Every one of us, God, are going to be around people this next week who need you. Lord, I release the fresh anointing talked about in the book of Psalms right now. In Jesus' name. I ask, Holy Spirit, you'll come on them even as a coat. And that, Lord, they'll feel your presence and heaviness, the glory of God. And that, Lord, as we step out into this real world with the real answer, with the real power to bring real change, I ask, Lord, for boldness upon your children. That they will not be ashamed. And that, Lord, when they pray, Lord, I know heaven will be released. In Jesus' name, use us. Lord, let us lead people to Christ this week. Let us see the sick healed in Christ's name. Let, oh God, people who struggle in their minds have clarity. Let, God, those who struggle with addictions be set free in Jesus' name. All because of the anointed sons and daughters of God who are in this room. And all for your glory, Jesus, not ours. All for yours. Fill your kingdom through us. In the name of Jesus, amen.